Welcome to Roadcase, the podcast that explores the live music experience. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Josh Rosenberg, and I'll be taking you on a journey through in-depth interviews with performers and key people in the industry to explore the magic of live music, how it can be totally transformative for both fans and performers, and we'll look at how they take it all out on the road. It's going to be a great ride, so here we go. Okay, welcome back to Roadcase, everybody. This is your host, Josh Rosenberg. I am so happy to be here for this episode with the amazing and shredding blues guitarist and vocalist, Ali Venable. I'm so psyched to be here for this one. Thanks again for being here and for your continued support of Roadcase. And if you are a first-time listener to Roadcase, thanks so much for being here and welcome to the Roadcase community. There's a number of different ways that you can get involved with Roadcase. First and really easy way is to follow us on the socials. We're at Roadcase Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can find out more information about Roadcase by visiting our website. We're at www.roadcasepod.com. Another great way to keep in touch with Roadcase is to shoot me an email with your questions, comments, concerns. The email is info@roadcasepod.com. I'm going to start to read some questions on the show, give you a shout out. We can start a discussion that way. It'll be really fun. So send in those questions. Happy to answer them on the show. Would love to do that. Another great way to support Roadcase is to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform. So if you're on Spotify, as I know many of you are, there's a little box that says follow right at the Roadcase homepage. Just click on that. If you're on Apple Podcasts, another popular listening platform, there's a check mark up in the upper right-hand corner there on the Roadcase homepage. Just click on that one. Doing so on both those platforms and other platforms will enable you to receive updates when new episodes come live, and it just helps out Roadcase to have subscribers, as you can imagine. Another great way to support Roadcase is to rate and review this podcast. So if you're on Spotify, right under that follow box, there's a little box with stars. Just click on that one. It's as easy as doing that. And on Apple Podcasts, scroll up a little bit on the Roadcase homepage there. You'll see some stars and a place to write a review. Just punch a bunch of stars. And if you have something to say about the show, that would be great if you could just write a review. So I'm really happy to have Ali Venable on the show this week. She is a now 24-year-old blues guitarist from Texas. The reason I say it that way is because when I did this interview, she was 23, and her birthday is when the date this episode comes out on April 7th. So happy birthday, Ali. Really psyched to have had this conversation with her. She grew up in Texas, started playing guitar at the age of 12, produced a first EP with friends and fellow musicians at age 14. She really found her voice and her musical expression through guitar, emulating and admiring fellow Texan Stevie Ray Vaughan. And Ali's got a new album that came out on March 10th. It's entitled Real Gone. It is just an absolutely scorching blues album with shredding guitar and incredible tone. It's what she does best. She's been doing this for quite some time now, despite her young age. She loves to travel, loves playing, obviously, loves what she does. She is a seasoned road warrior, just absolutely amazing guitar. So happy to be able to talk to her about so many different things. I know you'll love this episode. She's got a couple more dates in Texas here in the next few days. Then she heads to Europe in April and May, and with more U.S. dates in June and July. She was out earlier this year with the amazing Buddy Guy, with whom she has a very close kind of mentoring relationship. They also sang a duet on Real Gone called Texas, Louisiana, about their respective places of birth and growing up. It's really absolutely lovely. Just love this artist so much. I know you're going to really love this interview. We learned so much about Ali and her background and her mindset and what it's like to be a female artist in a pretty male-dominated genre of blues guitar. So really happy about that, that she's doing so well and is just so amazing. And really glad that you're here. Thanks again for your support. So glad that you're here for this episode. And I want to send a special thank you and wish a very happy birthday to Allie Venable for being here on this episode of Roadcase. And here we go. Cool. Hey, Allie. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Josh. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, great. Great. So it's so I'm so excited to have you. I mean, God, you've been on the road. I counted it up. You did like 77 or 75. I guess I'm not that great of a count, but I'd at least like 75 shows last year. You're on the road a ton. I want to talk about that. And especially you got a new album out, upcoming album called Real Gone. It's coming out on March 24th. How excited are you?
I'm very, very excited for it. And I'm hoping to do more than 75 shows this year, 2023. Yeah. That's really funny you counted.
I don't know. Yeah. I just sort of got inspired to like, oh, well, how many is that? Because it looked like a lot. So I was like,
yeah, oh. I'm always on the road. I'm on the road more than I am at home.
Yeah, so. truly. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, because it's 75 turns into 150 days away and all the extra stuff that you're doing. Clearly, you've got this thing down. And well, let's talk about being out there with Buddy Guy. And and you're starting a new leg of your tour, I might mention, while we're on that subject. And then you're, I guess you're supporting him for his farewell tour coming up this year. And you'll be doing some dates with him in February nearby. And I want to apologize. I missed you at Legends. And Legends is literally two blocks away from my house.
Oh my gosh. You need... Next time I'm in Chicago.
Absolutely. I had COVID. So.
Oh, yeah. So I'm glad you didn't come.
So I literally could not have made it. I was so bummed, but hey, better to stay home. But I was sorry that I missed you. I'm sure that was great. Do you like that venue? What's that like? That must be incredible for you, like a temple for a blues artist like yourself.
It was a really great experience playing Legends and also meeting some of Buddy's family. Mm-hmm. His family runs that venue, and just all the camaraderie, and everyone was so cool when we were there, very welcoming. And of course, Buddy was super cool. I got to jam with him on stage, and he asked about, you know, our song that we're doing together on my album, mm-hmm. how that was going and when it was coming out. And he's really excited about it. And yeah, it was an honor to get to play his venue and also jam with him and be a part of that whole thing.
Yeah, I've been there and I can attest to that whole family thing. I think he's got his son or somebody like running sort of interference for him when he goes out on stage. Did he play a set when you were there? Have you seen him? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he did.
Okay. Yeah, he played a. I don't think Greg played that night, but he was there and he was just hanging and making sure everything was okay.
Yeah.
His son.
Yeah.
And everybody was so great. I loved it. I loved being there.
Yeah. So, and you also did some dates in support of Buddy in last year in March.
Yes. Yeah, we did. We went to California with Buddy, and then we've also done, I believe, we've done so many shows. It's crazy. We've done a lot of shows with Buddy and with Kenny Wayne Shepherd as well. Yeah. And, it's always really fun. So I'm excited and honored to be on Buddy's farewell tour this year.
Yeah.
And we're going to a lot of really cool places. And we're also going to be in Texas, which is where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And, I'm just thrilled to be a part of that. And also to have Buddy as someone that is a mentor to me, and it's kind of come full circle because Buddy was one of the musicians that I looked to when I first started playing guitar. Mm-hmm. I'm 23 now, and I started when I was about 12 years old.
Yeah.
And I learned some Stevie Ray Vaughan songs and some Buddy Guy songs. And I remember my mom had took me to see him play in Dallas at the House of Blues when I was 15. Mm-hmm. did surprise me with tickets to go see him. And that's when I was really like just kind of starting my musical journey. And going from seeing him like in the audience for him to like know who I am and be touring with him and talking to him. And it's really a dream come true to be able to do this. So
what a trip that must be. Yeah. I mean, what, are you still kind of fanning out over that or what's sort
of how? I always fan out when I see him. He's so fun. He's so fun on stage. He's 86 now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but he's like a character on stage, you know, it's Buddy Guy. So fan out every time.
His show's amazing. But now you're in it and you're doing it. And that must be extraordinarily meaningful for you to be coming up and being a young artist in the blues world and then be able to tap upon the original and OG blues artist. Like, what impact does that have on you?
A huge impact, I feel like. Like I said, it's almost like a dream. It's very weird. Buddy is really supportive, especially for young people in like blues genre that play guitar. He's real cool about just being supportive of the people around him. And that's one of my goals is if I ever get to that stage.
Yeah.
To kind of like do what he did. And I remember he told me when I was at the club, he had found me. He was like signing autographs and I was just talking. I was like around the bar area, just talking to my bandmates. And he just comes over and he grabs my hand and he brings me over to the bar. And we had just like it was like a top shelf type, I guess, cognac or something. And we took a shot together. And then he basically was just like, Ali, you just need to keep going. He's like, you never know what's going to be around the corner. You know, you just need to keep going and keep doing it. Right. And that's what I'm going to do. Because Buddy told me I have to keep doing it. So I can't let him down.
I mean, and he just told you this, but on the other hand, you've been doing this and keeping it going, not knowing what's coming up, not knowing what's going to be around the corner since you picked up the guitar when you were 12. And that's amazing. What was that? And I guess you got a guitar at 12, you started a band at 13, you had an EP out at 14. What did those first couple of years look like for you that you're thinking, this is something that I can do? When was that point when you were like, oh, I want to do this. I'm going to put out an album. I'm going to go out there. Were those things that were going through your head at that time?
I just liked the guitar because it was something that I could really connect with. I couldn't really connect with a lot of my peers at school. I don't know. I just think that I got bullied a little bit in school from just the people around me, and I just it was just a way for me to like cope with it. And I just really loved it. It was something that my music career has always brought me out of like a low point that I encounter in my life, you know, whether it's relationship problems or just any type of problem that I have, I look to my music as a source of something that can bring me out of the funk that I'm in or the sadness that I'm in at that time. It's where it's hard to explain, but that's the best way I could explain it. And I feel like when I started playing music at 12, that's just how I could express myself. And it just kind of happened that way, that I'm a musician now. And like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just something I'm really passionate about, and that it's in my soul, it's in my core of who I am.
Yeah.
And I don't think I could get away from it. Like, it's just a part of me.
Absolutely. Well, clearly. And early on, tell me a little bit about that. I mean, I'm sorry that you got bullied, and it was And this was just something that you found you could really dig into and kind of have something that you owned and that you felt you were good at. And that helped with your sort of battling what you were encountering and those challenges that you were encountering at school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically that's what it was. And people probably thought I was silly as well, trying to play this type, like play music too. You know how kids are, they like kind of make fun of that as well.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. So, so you got out of that and then they're making fun of you for playing, God, it just never stops.
Right. So it's just, but once I got out of high school, it just became more and more touring and making more music. And also when I write songs, I write about what goes on in my life or something that I think that can relate to other people. Because we're all growing, you know, we're all evolving. We're all, we all make mistakes as well. We all are learning as we get older.
Yeah.
And go through life, and we're not all the same person that we once were when we were 12.
No, of course not. Know? Right. Yeah. In some regards, there's still your own core that's still in there. 100%. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
you see different things, you have different experiences.
Yes. I think that's the beautiful thing about music too, is that your songs that you write, or the songs that I've written when I was 15, 16, could mean a whole different thing now. Yeah. And also the songs that I write since I was 15, 16 years old, are like progressive of my life or how I felt at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just always changing, which is just really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you talked about, of course, admiring Stevie Ray Vaughan, who's from Texas, Buddy Guy, you write this cute, the cute song with Texas, Louisiana. I mean, I don't know, cute maybe is the word, not this, but it was fun to hear you guys both sing about your own origins and back and forth. And that was really cool. When you were growing up, obviously you were looking towards men who were blues artists, the OG artists. Was there influence of women at that time? Were you looking for that as well? And what did that look like for you?
Well, yeah, I definitely look towards Bonnie Raitt.
Mm-hmm.
Is like huge influence.
Yeah.
It's because she's, you know, she was like the first, I guess, modern mainstream woman that could play guitar and sing, not just sing, and play slide just very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think her, and then another woman, I'm never going to sound anything like her, but Beth Hart. I really love how Beth Hart sings, her presence on stage, the way that she just is very intense with her performance and her, but also very, she connects with people very well. And I love her live performance and her voice and just the whole thing, like, and her spirit. I got to meet her it was 2019. We were playing a festival. Mm-hmm. She was headlining. And I got to meet her. She had a lot of really nice, kind words to say to me. She's like, I can tell you have just a nice soul, Allie. She's like, keep that. Yeah. I was like, oh, so nice. And she's just great. So that's another lady that woman in blues music that I admire.
Yeah. Yeah. Early on, musical family. I understood I did.
I grew up singing in my children's choir and the choir at my church and here in Kilgore. And, but no, my parents are not musical, but they're music lovers. So they exposed me to a whole lot of different, music genres and different types of artists, and so they love music.
Yeah.
They especially love like 80s hair bands like Rat and Poison and like all right. of that
Motley
stuff.
Crue, quite right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, clearly that had an influence on you, apparently, with your crazy hair. No, I don't know. So were they into blues artists and all, or that? How'd you first discover like blues, you know, in radio kids, Stevie Ray Vaughan, obviously?
Yeah, I discovered who Stevie was. And what I didn't really, when I discovered Stevie, I didn't know that he was a guitar, like that was, he was known for his guitar playing. I just liked the. And then later, as I watched videos of him and stuff, I was like, oh, like he's known for his like guitar, like playing, like this is crazy.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to learn how to see if I can do that. And so that's, and then like, I just did like a deep dive into all the blues music and all the different artists that he liked. And that's what introduced me to blues and what it was. And that's kind of my goal as well with my music, is to kind of be a gateway into the blues genre that Stevie was for me, for young people or people that don't really know a whole lot about the blues world and where it comes from and everything. So yeah, that's what got me into it.
Yeah.
Was discovering Stevie was.
Yeah. What kind of guitar did you pick up when you were 12?
I had a Mexican Strat. I still have it somewhere in my music room, but yeah, I had a Mexican Strat.
Right. You just drive down there and pick one up or something.
Huh?
You could just drive down there and pick one up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
I'm curious, like, just from a nuts and bolts perspective, like, when you first started out, was it a lot of work for you to develop a blues lexicon, let's say? Was that something, what did that look like? Were you like, okay, no, I love this album, I'm going to try to copy these licks? Or what was kind of your process when you first started, when you first coming up?
Well, when I first started to play music, I guess I learned by ear a lot. So like I can hear a note and I can find it on the guitar.
Yeah.
And I learned from other guitar players or watching what they do or jam, going to jams and,
yeah,
learning that way. But the process for me was, I mean, I could pick it up pretty good whenever I started, pick up the guitar. And the best way for me to learn something is just to play live with people. And I love playing live with my band.
Yeah.
And so I think that was kind of the process, was just to kind of put myself out there and just play.
Yeah. Were you like in your band, were you making friends in music, and when you were just first starting out in high school and sort of just messing around and jamming with a lot of people and figuring out how
One of my friends, one of my original members in my band, he went to high school with me. His name's Elijah, and we like formed the band, and we just would come over to my house and, you know, jam for forever. And we would learn just different songs. And I would play anywhere that I could, grocery stores, people in between people's sets. We would go everywhere we could. We would try to find anywhere to play, especially in Kilgore. It's not like a musical town. So we would go all over around everywhere. And just
you and Elijah would go around and just jam.
Or me, Elijah, and then a guy, his name's Bobby Wallace. Elijah Owings and Bobby Wallace. That was my first band. And I had like an Elijah had been with me for a really long time. I have a new touring band now that they're great. Isaac Polito and EJ Bedford. They live close to Austin.
Okay.
And that's who I'm with now, and they're amazing.
Yeah,
and they're really good friends as well.
Yeah.
But I would practice all the time at my house with my bands until we got the songs good enough to perform in front of people.
Right. So were these two originally guys on your first EP?
My first EP, yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my original band. Yeah.
And that was only a couple of years after you picked up the guitar. That's
yes.
That's what? That's amazing. What was that? How'd you feel about that process?
It was really cool because it was my first time in a studio.
Yeah. Let's just come back to that. You were 14 at that time.
I think so.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Young.
I was really young. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never been in the studio before, mm-hmm. and it was just a great experience. And each time I went to the studio, it was a learning process each time. So I took what I learned from the first time I was in the studio to the second time, third time, and so on.
Yeah. Awesome. So, and singing in church, tell me about that. How did that help you?
Oh yeah. Cause it just, I think I was a very outgoing kid as well. Like my mom said, I would go up to random people at restaurants and just start talking to them when I was like 4 or 5. Like I would just love to talk to people. And so I think being in front of, a church, like, in front of the, people
congregation
singing in front of them, it allowed me to, I guess, get used to that, being in front of people singing.
Yeah. Let's skip forward. How do you feel now about being up on stage and doing your thing? You do it enough. It must be like kind of second nature. You get nervous when you're first getting up there, or what does that kind of look like for you?
I don't get nervous. It's actually the most comfortable I'll ever be is on stage.
Really? More comfortable than mm-hmm. right now talking to me?
Yes.
Much more.
Yes. I love on stage with my band because there's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just a great feeling. And it's where I'm most comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
For anything.
Right on, right on. Well, as well it should be. It's got to be easy. What's that feeling like being up there and getting? And I mean, you talked about starting out and finding something that's within you and expressing yourself when you were being put down for no reasons. And now you're getting up there, being able to express yourself and feeling that energy from audiences and fans. What impact does that have on you?
I think it's a huge impact, has a huge impact on me and also the people watching too. It's like a give and take type of energy.
Yeah.
And it's where I can truly be myself and again, express myself. Yeah. And there's not really a whole lot of rules on stage, you know,
right.
Just a very raw experience. We never play things the exact same way. It's always going to be a different type of energy, and that's why I love it.
Yeah. Have there been times when the energy of the crowd has kind of surprised you in some way, or
I definitely feed off of the energy that the crowd gives us. Yeah. And it makes it a better experience as well when the crowd is super into it.
Right. Yeah, blues is such a kind of a visceral medium.
It's a feeling.
Yeah, exactly. And you're getting that feeling. You're expressing that feeling. Do you kind of, I mean, this sounds trite, but I mean, do you have to be in a certain mood to put those licks out there? Does it help to kind of get yourself into a particular frame of mind to perform blues on guitar from your perspective?
Well, I think I just take
you gotta
those...
get really pissed and like, or be on the, like, and just break up with a boyfriend just to play really, just really shred.
I think it's just a part of who I am. And also the way I play, I have a lot of feeling inside. I have a lot of feeling like, that I want to get out, and the best way that I know how to get that out is through like my playing and my singing and my performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of truth to what you're saying is I don't have to be in a certain frame of mind. It's just, again, who I am and how I express what's inside and what I'm feeling.
So it's cathartic for you. You feel, but, and it also feels like you have a deep well of emotion that you can tap into.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of your way of talking to the world.
Yes. It's my therapy.
No way. It's your therapy. Okay. Yeah. Do you talk to a therapist also?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it can be a good. Is it a good therapy for you? And
it's a good
how does it operate in that? How what does that look like for you?
Well, it's a good, it's just a good way to just, get my emotions out, whether it be happy, like we're going to rock out, we're having a good time, or like more bluesy, like kind of some of that sad emotion that needs to get let out, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I've noticed even listening to this upcoming album, that's coming out in the end of March, you know, I did notice that you're kind of tapping in a little bit to your own. I mean, I know that you've done this before, but it feels like there's a little deeper emotional content about personal stories and personal events that are in your life. It's nice to hear. It gives a lot of depth and background to the songs and to the stories and helps put the riffs and the musical content into context. Do you feel like you're continuing to move forward in that respect and talk a little bit more about what your own what's come to you in life and things that you experience?
Yes, I definitely think that I have evolved in my songwriting, as well as being more transparent and more vulnerable with what I put out with my songs, mm-hmm. and also collaborating with others to help me put that message out into the world. Like I wrote with Tom Hambridge and Rich Fleming on this record.
Yeah.
And he did such a great job with guiding me on how to express those stories and those songs in the best way possible. And I think it shows in the,
it does. Albums. It does. So so would you come with a particular thought or a story or some subject that you want to touch upon in a song, and they'll kind of help you structure that within the nature of that particular song and kind of.
Yeah. There was different types of approaches to each of the songs. So we wrote the songs, all the songs we wrote in 2 days for the album.
Wow. Okay.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But you had a lot of stories. You had a lot of stories at the ready. I mean, did you even have like a rough draft of like, I don't want to cover this.
Yeah,
this.
I brought in a few songs. I had like, some written and then some ideas, mm-hmm. and as well as they had some written and then some ideas on their part as well. And that was really cool to be able to collaborate on some of the stuff they wrote, and then they collaborate on some of the stuff I wrote, just to kind of bring a new idea, a new perspective on it.
Right.
And again, I try to write about what goes on in my life, an experience that I think is important to relay, and also that is a form of therapy as well as writing a song about an experience that I've had, type thing too. And I writing with Tom was my favorite out of all the things that we did on the album. For the album was writing the songs.
Cool. When you first come up with an idea for a song, or you're like, oh, I'm going to write about this, for example, is there a riff that's attached to that, to a particular?
Sometimes, or like a melody or something that I'm just like thinking in my head could go nicely with it, or it really just depends on where I start with the idea. It's like brain candy. You don't know what's going to come out. You start with nothing, and then
so it just depends. Sometimes you'll have a riff and then you'll attach it to a particular story, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Do they ever come at the same time? They must happen too.
I'm sorry?
Does it ever come at the same time? You're like, oh, wait, this idea and this riff totally going together.
Yeah, so it can happen that way. For example, the Broken and Blue song was really special to me because that's a song that I brought in. And basically talking about how, you know, you think somebody is one way towards you and then they kind of do you wrong. And so, and they take your pride away. And the next time I see you, you know, it's not going to be that way. Like I know how to handle myself now the next time that I encounter you, because you've done this wrong to me, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Don't go backwards.
Yeah. Don't go backwards.
Never go backwards. I mean, it happens when people come back into your life and you're like, I think these things end for a reason, and those reasons don't change. Mm-hmm. Just to delve into, like, of course, I've had no personal experience with that at all myself. Obviously. Let's talk about touring. Tell me a little bit about your touring life. You've been, you talked about when with the EP and your first two friends that you were jamming with and going out there and playing a little bit. What does that look like since then? And what are some of the challenges that you find being out there on the road?
Well, the difference is it's we're just on a growing and on a different level than, you know, where I first started, and I would like continue to grow.
Yeah.
As well. I think some of the challenges are, I guess, I don't want to say this is a challenge because I love who I am and what I present to the world and everything. Mm-hmm. But I am a woman and I play guitar. Mm-hmm. And I think there's almost a double-edged sword to it. You know, like people can say, oh, well, she's just getting attention because she's pretty and she can play the guitar and da-da-da-da, you know. But then you get attention from that. But then if you get attention because of that, then people don't really respect that you can actually play the guitar well and respect you as a musician.
Right.
So
right.
There, I think that's the challenge. And also just being disrespected, you know, in that way is kind of the challenge.
Yeah. So you get a lot of that vibe from talking to fans or just hearing what people are saying when you're out on the road.
Sometimes, yeah. But there are a lot of people that do support what I do, obviously. Are there and see it for, you know, who I am and what I bring. I think, what I bring is, a really great fun show with a lot of cool, great guitar stuff in it. And, I like to present myself in the best way that I can, so I feel comfortable being looked at on stage, and I make sure my guys look good too. They have to look good with me. And so I don't know. I just like that part of it as
well. You can direct them to the Guitar World magazine top 15 Young Guns article.
I guess so.
Because you were pretty damn high up on that one, number two, and I don't even care who number one was. And however you look is one thing. Obviously, if people are just saying that's the only reason or whatever, they're not listening to the music. And
I think it's a whole package.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think it's one in the set. I think it's you can't have one without the other. Like it needs to be one cohesive thing. I mean, look at Prince. I look at Prince as a great example. You know, he was always extravagant. He had these really cool looks that he would put together, and his playing, you know, was also, his guitar playing was just amazing.
Yeah.
B.B. King as well would always wear a suit on stage. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And so
Samantha Fish is, I mean, just to kick it to the future, she's got a great look. I love what she does on stage. You know, just like a striking artistic personality. I mean, it just, you know, that's what it is. Women get pigeonholed into being, oh, she's beautiful or she's pretty or she's sexy or whatever. Things that might, that don't get said about men in that certain way or with that particular attitude. Like, oh, it's just because. People would say that's just because, you know, for when it's a guy playing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think because women are beautiful, I think because when people say that, it downplays the playing.
Yeah.
Right. So when people focus a lot on that, then it takes away from the artistry as well. So
absolutely.
I don't know. It's a battle that we women in music, I think, have to, constantly I guess, think about. So that would be the challenge, one of the challenges, the main challenge for me.
Yeah, yeah. I had Joanne Shaw Taylor on the show. We talked about that quite a bit. She's
I love her.
She's fucking amazing.
She is.
Yeah, God. What's been the impact of being up there as a role model for young women as well in music? Have you, tell me a little bit about some of your experiences. You must have encountered some fans along the way. And what is that, what impact does that have on you to know that you're kind of inspiring a next generation? You're going to be 24 and you're inspiring the next generation. Is it like of young women and girls that are out there that are playing guitar? Tell me a little bit about what that means to you and what's that looked like for you so far.
I think it's really cool to see girls younger than me playing guitar. And especially when they come to my shows. I've had a few encounters with some younger girls that will bring their guitars up and, you know, sign up.
That's so cute.
They're just so you can just see the light in their eyes, you know, like they're so excited to be a part of the show, be a part of it, and also look for you know, someone to look to for their own musical endearment. So
I think
it's cool that I get to be a part of their journey as well,
to make that connection. And clearly that's important to you. I was watching one of the videos too, the one where you've got the two there's a young girl that's learning baseball, and then there's another one that's chopping the karate thing, and then it was sort of like you at the beginning with your dad. Was that correct? Is that was that actually, that wasn't actually you? That was like filmed now.
No, that wasn't actually me. Okay. That was was a girl that a family friend that she was playing me, but that was actually my dad in the video.
Oh, okay, all right, cool. Yeah, tell me a little about the background of that, because it's sort of along the lines of what we're talking about, like female girl power. Like we can do this.
That's my Heart of Fire music video.
Heart of Fire. Okay, yeah, from the prior album.
Yes, and my goal with that was to kind of showcase to not let your light, your flame go out, that there'll always be somebody there to help guide your flame or light your flame.
Yeah.
And if you notice in the video, each little girl would light the other little girl's flame.
Oh, right. Uh-huh.
And then they would achieve their goal. Yeah. So you see me like as a young girl wanting to play guitar, and my dad's like, it's a lot of hard work. Are you sure?
And you were I'm like, yes,
this is what I want to do. And so it transformed over to me playing, you know, my guitar. And then, like you said, there was a young girl playing baseball. She was like missing the ball, you know, and got her flame lit by younger me.
Right.
And then she grew up and she hit the home run. And then the current girl, she was struggling with her her kick, and then she got her flame lit, and then she could, you know. So it's like a flame, the flame inside of you as well.
Right.
To not go out and just keep going.
Yeah.
Kind of go back to what Buddy Guy said, you know, just keep going, keep trying, you know.
Right. Well, if you find your passion, it's easier to keep going. And
yes,
you found your passion early on. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. There are so many challenges being out there on the road. Is that something, let's talk not only just about, we've been talking about meeting fans and interaction, being on a stage and getting that energy, but what about like the nuts and bolts of just like, it's hard work being out there living in, you're like traveling in a van or a bus or whatever you're doing. What's that look like for you kind of on a day-to-day basis, and how difficult is it for you? If at all?
Oh, well, it is a lot of traveling, more traveling than the average person will probably do like in their whole life.
Probably,
It's a lot of traveling, but I love that. I love seeing different places, different people, experiencing different things. We fly, we drive to get to the next show. It is a lot of energy that is taken out as you go. You know, it takes a lot of energy out of you.
Mm.
So I guess that would be the challenge. And then you got to, you know, perform at your best in front of people after you've traveled and loaded in and pack up, go to the hotel at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and then you got to leave again and do the whole thing, drive for hours and hours and hours and do the whole thing over again.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But when you love something, the extra work doesn't matter. Like yeah. you'll just do it because you love it.
How do you, does it get to be a drag for you at all? The travel itself. I mean, it's logistics. I mean, you can say like, it's just tiring.
It is very tiring, but it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Like okay. Clearly.
Yeah, I do get really tired, but it doesn't like phase me. Like I'll just keep playing.
Yeah. It's nice to be young. how does that change? Like, what did that look? When was the first time you went out there and went on kind of a tour? Tell me about what that looked like. Just doing the thing outside of where you live in Texas, and then how that sort of that radius kind of started to expand as you went along.
I think I went on my first out of state, tour. When I was like 15 or 16, I went to Florida and did like 2 or 3 shows for like a weekend or something. And that was my first experience, like get out there and like play shows.
Yeah.
And then after that, it just started to become more and more shows.
Yeah.
And I just love it. I love like getting ready for the tour and just going and getting a van and just doing it. Like that's just
doing,
I love it.
Doing what
I love the grind. Great.
Doing what you do.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I saw you. Did I see you early on playing a Fender, and now you've switched? You're playing Les Paul now. Good Gibson.
Yes, I have a Gibson Les Paul limited edition.
Yeah.
Series. It's magenta, and I love it. It's great.
Yeah. When'd you switch from Fender to Gibson?
I don't remember exactly. I think I was like 18 or 19 is when I started playing my Les Paul more.
Yeah.
And I just like the sound of like humbuckers and just real, it's a real nice sound. But straps are really great too.
Yeah,
like it, totally. There's just like a nice, different approach to different songs.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not much of a guitarist and guitar tech person, but like what's a go-to kind of pedal for you that gives you kind of your tone, like your favorite one that you're going to?
My favorite one that I use all the time is my King of Tone pedal by Analog Man. And those are very like rare to get.
Oh, okay.
That was given to me by a really good friend. His name's Devin Allman. He gave that as a gift.
I had Devin on the show.
Oh, okay.
He's great.
He's great. He gave that as a gift to me.
Oh, that's so nice of him. He's such a good dude.
I know, he's cool. but I use that all the time. But another cool pedal is just like a Tube Screamer. It's like a nice overdrive pedal.
Yeah. When you're practicing at home, do you use the pedals, or are you kind of just going right through the amp? Or are there times when you're just like, okay, I just need to just hear that, like what it sounded straight out of the guitar?
I just go straight through the amp when I'm at home.
Yeah.
I don't really get my pedals out unless I'm just experimenting with different stuff or trying different things at home.
Right.
Go straight through the amp when I'm practicing or, you know.
Yeah. Do you ever see yourself sort of as carrying on the blues tradition and, you know, talking to Buddy Guy, obviously you're sitting down with him and he's saying, go forward and continue to do what you're doing. But you must see yourself as part of this blues tradition at this point. Where do you kind of see that going? And as you've moved along, where do you see your place in that continuing evolution of blues?
Well, I don't really know, actually. Uh-huh. I don't really know. All I know is that I want to keep playing shows and keep meeting people and keep playing my guitar. And with the support of Buddy Guy and, you know, the other people within the community, my friends, I can only see it go up from here. But I don't really know exactly what my place is. I think, I want to support whoever comes around me and give them encouragement and support in any way that I can and be a friend. So I guess that's where I see myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you play with them? Just speaking of Devin, were you on any of the Allman Family Revival shows, or did you get involved?
Yes, I've done those in the past. I wasn't on this last tour, but I have done some of the Allman Family Revival shows, and they're so fun.
Yeah. They've got to be a ton of fun.
Yes,
what
they are.
What songs did you do? Do you remember?
One year I actually did Thrill Is Gone for the first year. And then I think I've just done Thrill Is Gone on the first. We played at the Beacon Theater in San Francisco, California. Or not Beacon, the Fillmore.
Is in New York. Fillmore in San Francisco.
We did Beacon Theater in New York, and then we did the Fillmore in San Francisco.
Right.
Which was great.
Yeah, so you've got this, so the album's coming out on March 24th, you're going out on tour. Talk to me a little bit about where you're going on the road and what's coming up for you for kind of the beginning of this year, as far as you can see.
Yeah, so we start on my tour that we're going to be on. The first show's on February 22nd.
Right.
And we're on the road with Buddy, as well as Eric Gales.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do some shows. We haven't announced these yet, but we're going to be doing some shows with Kenny Wayne Shepherd as well again. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be in Europe doing the Blues Caravan Tour there. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that. And then we'll be in Canada. And then we'll be doing some headline shows for myself in the States as well. So we'll be very busy.
Is that your headlining shows? When are those coming up?
In April.
Starting
April.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
I usually start it with some shows around my birthday. So I'll do some Texas shows to start the tour.
Oh, okay. Your birthday's in April or something like that, right?
April 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th.
Okay. Oh, 3 days of birthdays?
Austin, Dallas, the Houston area, and my hometown, Kilgore. And my birthday's the April 7th.
Nice. Okay. And those Blues Caravan shows, that's with your former Blues Caravan crew, Ina and Katarina?
No, it'll be two other artists off of Rough Records. Will Jacobs and Ashley Sherlock are the two other guitar players on that tour.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about Rough Records. I don't really know that much about it, but it's German-based and they're sort of like blues crossover type of focused label.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. How'd you connect with them?
Well, I was playing a show with Mike Zito. Mm-hmm. You know who Mike is?
Yeah.
And he was currently on Rough Records, and he had basically introduced me to who Thomas was, and that's how I met Rough Records, was through Mike Zito.
Okay.
Thomas Roof.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Roof. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Cool. Well, that's, you got so much going on. It's just, it's so great to hear about your background and where you're at, Allie. It's just wonderful. Thanks. You're a shredder and that's all. That's all there is to it. I'll direct anybody to the Young Guns article, okay? And I'm sure there's a lot of other lists out there and everything like that. And I'm so glad you're out there representing for women in rock and just for yourself and doing what you do. It's great.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate, you know, all the support from my fans and from you. And it's been a really cool journey, and I can't wait to see where it takes me from here.
Same here. Well, best of luck, and thanks for stopping by. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, that was me and Allie Venable just having a really great conversation about her background. I love her story so much. You know, she talked about how, you know, early on she could really connect with her guitar, you know, and, you know, my heart really goes out to her when she told me that, you know, she was bullied, as a kid, and that guitar was her way to cope with that. And music for her was her own way to kind of, dig herself out at a low point. And, you know, that's just really It's both heartbreaking and ultimately it's encouraging and inspiring. You know, now she talks about how her goal is to be a gateway into the blues genre for those coming up, in the same way that Stevie Ray Vaughan was for her. You know, and at the same time, she talks about being an outgoing person as a kid and singing in church, and was just used to playing in front of people, and how she's most comfortable on stage, which I love to hear, and is really also very, very inspiring. And, you know, most importantly, she is a female blues artist, an artist. There are not a lot of female artists in this genre. I mean, I've had at least one on the show, Joanne Shaw Taylor, who's just absolutely amazing. We talked a lot about how she wants to act as a role model for women. Allie also talks about the angle of being a woman and that she plays guitar, and people will come and say, you know, or she'll hear people talk about her and saying how she's just pretty, or that people don't respect her as much for being a musician. But, you know, it's a real challenge for her. And, you know, she talked about that and that duality of not being wanted to judge for her own physicality and physical presence, but being judged as a musician. And I think that's wonderful. And she really wants to be, I don't think that whole thing's wonderful. What I think is that, you know, her attitude and moving forward with that and trying to break down those type of stereotypes is really, really great and admirable. And she's fighting constantly for that and looks to be a role model for young girls coming up who are playing guitar. You know, she really feels, to quote her, it's cool to be a part of their journey. And I actually think that's absolutely wonderful. And I really, really support those efforts. Really glad to have her on the show. Her latest album is out. It's entitled Real Gone. It is just absolutely amazing. She's got a couple tour dates coming up here in the next few days in Texas. So if you're in Texas, you can catch her in the next couple of days if you haven't already. Earlier this year, when she toured with Buddy Guy during Buddy Guy's Farewell Tour. She'll also be in Europe throughout April and May, and then back in the United States in June and July. She is a road warrior, so set your sights on her. Go to her website, check more tour dates, and you please go and give her a listen and check her out on the road. It's just an amazing, amazing show, amazing musician. So glad that you're here for this episode. Send in those questions via email so that I can, and let me know if I can read one on the air. Would love to do that. So that's another thing. Please follow us. Give us a follow on the socials. We're at Roadcase Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thanks again for your support. So glad you were here for this one. And I want to send a special thank you to Allie Venable and wish you a very happy birthday as well. And thanks for being here on this episode of Roadcase. Thanks again so much for listening, and I'd like to encourage everyone to get involved with Roadcase. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can email me at info@roadcasepod.com with questions, comments, and even suggestions for guests. Or you can follow us on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at Roadcase Pod, and we have a YouTube channel called Roadcase Podcast. And of course, you can subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform. And if you could please rate and review the podcast while you're there, that would be great. So I want to thank Waltzer for this awesome theme music that we have. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to Roadcase. We have a lot of great episodes coming up, so I'll see you on down the road.